It's 442 downtown. Message in the bottle time brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Eric Meehan with us, and take a moment or two to remember the great Harry Anderson, who died yesterday at the age of 65, and all big fans of Night Court here.
Yeah, that was, so I lived in a part of New Jersey where we got all the channels in the world, both from New York and Philadelphia, and pretty much, I mean, you know, you were set, but that still only meant I got three channels. And I remember for some reason, I don't think my parents understood quite how subversive a show their son was watching during, you know, my hour or so that I was allowed to watch television, you know, in between pretending to do my homework and eating, you know, and going to bed. And I fell, I mean, I've referenced the episode where Dan Fielding, John Larroquette, finally takes Marky Post to a sleazy hotel, and the guy says, you know, shall I unscrew the champagne for you, sir? And when that was a joke back when you unscrewed wine. And so, I mean, that always stuck with me, but Harry Stone was like one of those seminal good guys, and he was funny and witty. And then, yeah, I mean, seeing him in Cheers, of course, you know, but I loved that show. I loved the show. I loved all the characters. Marky Post was essential because, of course, Harry Stone needed a love interest, even a quirky one. Richard Mall, and so many of the great characters from that show are unfortunately no longer with us. But I don't know, more than a lot of probably really important, you know, MASH was important, Cheers was important, but I think I must have watched every episode of Night Court at least twice.
Well, as somebody said, I mean, that was a Thursday night show, and that must see TV lineup, and it absolutely held its own along shows like Cosby and Cheers and
also
all the
theme, which, you know, I requested the theme, mea culpa for anybody who's, you know, like, oh god, for some reason that was the first kind of funky 80s, and I remember like Seinfeld and LA or Law and Order, they all had that like kind of poppy bass thing, but like that was the first one I remember being like really like, you heard that sax and you're like, yeah, funny time. Yeah, that was very sad to see that. And I know, you know, I'm not getting all schmaltzy over minor stars that are leaving us, but that was like, shoot, I really love that show. And they don't, I mean, I'm sure they make them like that these days, kids. I know I'm a crusty old man, get off my lawn, but, you know, that was important. Like, all the subversive things, right? Like, my brother handing me Eddie Murphy tape, you know, and watching Night Court and thinking like, my parents really don't understand that I'm watching it, because they, you know, I remember the first time they saw me like watching Benny Hill with my brother, and they just lost their minds, you know. You see a brassiere, you lose your head, but, you know, witty little comments from Dan Fielding, and they're like, he's gonna be a lawyer, dear.
Yes, that's it.
So that turned out well.
Later on in the show, we'll share some of the memories from Marky Post and John Larroquette, as well as they have weighed in out in the Twitterverse today, the passing of Harry Anderson at 65. But in the wine world, we're doing some cooking with alcohol.
I did a couple things today. So last week I brought in a beer bread made with pepperell pills, and I happened to spot, and my wife's going to kill me if she's listening, and this is the real beer, guys, a can of Even More Jesus. Yeah. It's a Evil Twin brewing, and he makes this Even More Jesus Imperial Stout, and it's extraordinarily rich and decadent. And since this recipe called for sugar, a quarter cup of sugar, I actually didn't add the sugar, but so I made the exact same bread, but not adding the sugar because there's so much sugar in the beer already. And also the Imperial Stout, much, much different than a Pilsner, right? I mean, the Pilsner's kind of light and fresh. And the Imperial Stout's, it's very dense. I mean, it's an 11% alcohol beer. It's full and rich and hearty. So I kind of thought that it would be fun to see how the same recipe turned out with different breads. I think it turned out quite brilliantly. What do you guys think?
This is excellent.
Yeah. Well, again, since Cutler is not here, I mean, I have to. Do I have to keep? Is he gonna like keep not showing up? Do I have to keep cooking for you guys? Because I feel bad, like. I can't believe you guys go all the other 4 days without sustenance.
That's why we're so happy to see you.
I know. It's all
Tuesdays,
right.
Tuesdays are getting busy for Bob, so he's going to take a little a little respite from his visits.
He's getting married to him.
I think that's it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's good for him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to set him straight. That's good. But I wanted to talk today a little bit about cider and cooking with cider and where it comes from. And it's I kind of dig cider, and I think it makes marvelous cakes and breads as well. I almost just dumped the cider I got today into it, but I didn't. It's a sparkling cider. I didn't know how that would work. So we got beer bread, and we're going to talk about cider and the specific cider that I brought in today, and why I brought this in. So I brought in Rocky Ground Cideries Special Reserve. It's called Mom's Favorite, and a little bit about Rocky Ground, and then we'll talk a little bit about cider. But Rocky Ground is one of the folks that is part of the new cider wave. The gentleman I know is Angus Dean. He is married to his partner in crime, who is named Abby, they manage her father's heirloom orchard, which is the Maine's largest heirloom orchard. So they have just access to a wide variety of real cider apples. And then they also forage for cider apples. That's primarily what we have in this bottle right here. So why is this important? And why are we talking about cider? And like, how does this fit into my boozy life? Well, let's talk about cider. The word cider that we use is from a Jewish word called shikar, which just kind of means alcoholic beverage. And it's been around for a long, long time because, of course, it's fermented apple juice, right? The things that we call cider here, slightly different than what they call cider in parts of Europe. We'll talk about that in a moment. But how did cider kind of spread? Well, cider spread through war, right? Like at first, I guess cider is probably most associated, if it had to be with a country, it's probably most associated with the UK, right, with Great Britain. But it really has its most important home actually in Normandy, France, and then was brought over to Great Britain by the Normans in 1066, the Norman invasion. The only date, honestly, that I ever will remember, ever. And that includes, like, my children's birthdays. 1066 I got, but...
Battle of Hastings, all over it.
That's right. When was Eric Charles born? Give me a moment. Because, frankly, I didn't have history teachers banging my son's future birthday into my head when I was a kid. I swear, I was told, like, the only date you'll ever need to know is 1066. So I took the word at it, and I've never learned another one since. But that's how ciders got into Great Britain. But if you've ever been over to France, I mean, of course, France, the land of wine and everything, but in these very, very rocky, rough coastal places where they grow these beautiful apple and pear orchards, vines not so hospitable. It really doesn't do well there. So it's really one of the only places in France where there's not like a big wine tradition, but a huge cider tradition. So in Britain, right, cider by definition is an alcoholic beverage, right? They don't have the unfiltered apple juice that we all call cider, when you go out to your local cider mill and bring the kids and, oh, we're all going to have cider. Yeah, in Great Britain, you probably wouldn't be doing that unless your kids were hellions and you needed to get them drunk in order to get them quiet. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. You probably wouldn't do that. But here, of course, we know cider as unfiltered apple juice. And then you kind of have to sort of explain, no, it's alcoholic cider, right? And that actually, the transition there happened after the temperance movement and prohibition, right? Like they kind of tried to rename and get people's heads around cider as a lovely non-alcoholic option. But we're teaching them, right? We're coming back with a new round of hugely alcoholic ciders, and it's wonderful. So the apples, this is very important in America. Why? The cider that we're having today, again, very, very traditionally American. So apples brought by pilgrims, other early settlers, and widely planted. I mean, of course, for food, but also deliberately for alcohol. I mean, this was like a thing, right? And there was an enormous consumption in the colonial era, but largely in that time by the poorer classes, right? A, because there were a lot of apples and so it was readily available, but A, also the rich folk, they liked the French wine. Of course, we talk about Thomas Jefferson and all these other, founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson had more French wine than I do in my shop. I mean, on a daily basis, this man dug his stuff. And they also really liked brandy, French brandy, and other, you know, fine spirits. But brandy, of course, is made with what? Grapes. And we all remember what happened in the mid-1800s to the grapes in Europe. They all died because of the phylloxera louse. So all of a sudden, there wasn't any wine for the rich people to drink. There wasn't any brandy for the rich people to drink. But they said, hey, all these poor people are drunk. And they look like they're having a lot better time than we are. Maybe we should try what they're having. And so really in the late 1800s, that's when even, you know, wealthier Americans started subbing in cider for brandy and European wine. It was local, and it was, that's right, there, as opposed to not there. So that's really when cider hit its stride. And then, of course, as we as I just mentioned, Prohibition happened, and it wasn't really good for any alcoholic beverages. And it managed to kill wine for a little bit. It managed to kill beer for a little bit, but it managed to kill cider for a long time. And it's really only now that we're starting to see, I mean, of course, there's the woodchucks of the world. And that, frankly, that was born out of the sort of early, you know, gluten-free movement, right? Like, so people couldn't have beer, and some very savvy people jumped on that and made woodchuck cider, and that sort of mass-produced, kind of, you know, added sugars and a lot of stuff that a lot of people now don't particularly care for, right? They really want to go back and taste what cider was like back in the day. So these heirloom apples, they're tart. They make wonderful cider. I mean, that's what they're there for. If you bite into one, you're probably not going to enjoy eating it like, you know, a Gala or a Cortland or something like that. But yeah, when they're fermented, they're really wonderful. Now these guys, Rocky Ground, also Whaleback and some other cideries, they're also making ciders like in barrels and you know, really letting time have its way with the fermentation, wild yeasts changing the sugars in the alcohol or in the apple juice to alcohol, and you're ending up with these wildly complex ciders that, since this is a Cooking with Cider show, make fantastically interesting foods, right? I mean, it makes sense. If you're cooking with wine, you don't want a really bland Merlot or something. You want maybe a decent wine that's got a little character to it to give your food some character, because you're essentially reducing that whatever, you know, liquid it is to its most, you know, raw flavors. And so I would think you'd want something kind of interesting. Now this one, as I said, this is a sparkling. So basically they do a secondary fermentation in the bottle, just like a lot of the beers that you've had. They use honey in this case, as the starter sugar. It's absolutely, it's really unique. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, when you think of hard ciders, do you think of this sort of thing, or is it not sweet enough? Is it,
I like the fact that it's not that sweet.
I kind of do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer the non-sweet ciders. I know I had someone, I was over in Somerset County, that was great. This one is good. It has a different, I think it's the honey maybe.
Yeah.
Gives it that sort of an odd flavor I'm not expecting.
It's interesting you say that, not only because of this, but because we also got a couple new non-alcoholic beverages into the store that use either maple syrup or honey as the sugar, as opposed to sugar, processed sugar. And it definitely finishes differently. And it's really, just like mead finishes with that kind of spice. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exactly. That's, yeah. It's a meatiness to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So good hybrid there. I'm about to run out of time, but I did want to mention, we have two tastings coming up this Thursday. Will be sort of our cooking with booze tasting. I'm going to whip up, probably this bread again. I'm going to attempt to make a cake tomorrow. Hopefully that turns out well, as well as, a Moscato peach wine slushy that's going to be perfect someday soon, please. And then also next Wednesday, the 25th, this is really cool, okay, folks? This does not happen a lot. Wine producers do not come up to Bangor, Maine much, because they're kept down in New Jersey and New York and Boston and all these junkets that they do. But we're having a Bordeaux producer from Château Toutajac, which is in the Entre de Mer region. They make a red and a white. That's what they do. They're fabulous. They're not expensive. So they're great for those of us who are absolutely broke these days. We're also having Kaylee Wardwell, who is the owner and cheesemaker of Abraham's Creamery in East Newport. She'll be bringing her brand fresh, spanking new Chevre, because Chevre. Because of course the kids have just come, and that means baby goats, and that means fresh milk. Also, kid hugging day. In case anybody wants to go see some kids with your kids, that's happening this Sunday at various goat farms around. Check that out; should be fun. We'll see you here next Tuesday.
Thanks, Eric.